may never have a mansion here, but I got one waiting on me. Amen. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Brother Truman. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being with us tonight. God bless you. Encouraged us and been a real blessing. Brother Duncan, thank you for bringing them over to be with us. And I'm grateful for all that the Lord's done. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Nehemiah chapter number 8 tonight. Let's stand to our feet very quickly in honor of God's Word. The Bible says, Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Anaiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padeah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." I know last week I preached from this passage of Scripture and we went through these verses, but tonight I want to look at it from a different angle and just to get an understanding. I believe it would be something that will help us. I want to preach, the Bible says in verse number 1, they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. And I want to preach tonight on bring the book. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help me to say what I need to say, and Lord, to say it in a way that'll be helpful for each of us to grow in Thee. Our hearts have already been blessed and stirred tonight. Now as we come to this time of preaching, then Lord, I pray that you will anoint the messenger, and Lord, I pray that you'll use your Word to speak to our hearts and our lives, and I pray that tonight we'd hear from Thee, not from me, and we'd be encouraged and strengthened by Thy Word. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Every great movement of God among His people has always been centered around His precious Word. Not only in Bible times, and we can go back and we can read through the history of God's people in the Old Testament or the church age and in the New Testament, but in the times of great revivals throughout history. If you study the history of the church and the great revivals, then we're going to find at the center of each one of them was the return of God's people to God's Word. And they would return to God's Word in practice, in precepts, and in principles. And there's no doubt a famine today of God's Word among God's people, by and large. For many years there's been a famine of God's Word in God's people's lives. People are saved and they just go along their merry way, but there must be a return to the Word of God. There's also been the problem of many watered-down versions of the Bible. Many of these new versions have tried to make people comfortable with whatever lifestyle they're living. Now, obviously, around here, we take our stand on the authorized King James Bible, which comes, we know, from the Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus, not to get into all that. But we take a stand. But to take a stand and to say that we believe the Bible does not mean that it's a daily part of our lives. There's a lot of people that believe the Bible, but they never read the Bible. There's a lot of people that believe that this is the Word of God, but they never practice the Word of God. And so if we're going to see God do something, if we're going to see a movement of God, we must have the Word of God in our lives. The only hope for this day and this age is for God's people to return to the Word of God, and if they're in the Word of God, to continue. Now you've heard the a saying many times that a family altar will alter a family. How true that is. Life may be busy, but families must get back to God's Word. And individuals must return to having a devotional life. Now, I'm convinced that if we're ever going to see God do a mighty work in our church family, it'll be because our individual families are in the book. We'll have a desire to bring the book back to the proper place in our lives and in our families and in our homes. It won't be a book that takes up a spot on a coffee table. It'll be a book that's read and brought into our hearts and into our lives, and it'll change the way we walk and the way we talk. Regardless of how many people live in your home, there must be a return or a continuance of families gathering around the Bible together. And by the way, I'm preaching to my family as well as everyone. I realize that this passage that we read here in Nehemiah chapter number 8 is speaking of a great company of people gathering together. But there are some great principles that I think can apply to a family altar or to a devotional life. And I'm going to give them to you very quickly. Number one, read the Word. Read the Word. It's that simple. The Bible says all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning till midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. So I'm saying tonight that what we need to do is we need to be people that read the book. We need to read the Bible. We need to have it as a part of our lives. We need to take time every day as a family and as individuals to read the Word of God together. We need to establish in the life of children the need to be faithful to the reading of God's Word each day. We've got to establish that. We've got to have that. And as you read it, try to read it like it's written. You know, sometimes we'll get the Bible, and we'll try to read it. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the scribe, you know, read it like it's written. That's why there's punctuations. It helps you. You don't talk that way. Read it like it's written. Now, I'm just trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help me tonight. Read the book like God gave it to us. When there's a question mark, read it as a question that's being given. When there's a punctuation, read it with that punctuation. When there's a comma, take that pause. And I'm just saying, this helps you to read. And don't rush through it, you read it. You know, we're not trying to do it just to say, well, I read my Bible today. And that's what a lot of people do when they read the Bible. They read it to say, well, I read my Bible today. I want you to understand that's no good. We're reading it to hear from God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. When we read it, there's questions we can ask. Who, what, when, where, why. Just find ways that will help you to apply the Bible, to understand the Bible, to see what the Bible is saying, and it will help us to read the Word. As a matter of fact, it gets exciting. I was reading the other day in the book of 1 Samuel about Hannah and about Samuel and about Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and all that. And I found myself, I was reading and I thought, boy, I just don't want to stop. I want to see everything that's happening. Here's little Samuel and the Lord speaking to a little boy. And he keeps thinking it's Eli. And then finally Eli says, God's speaking to you, son. When he speaks the next time, say, hear my Lord, what do you have to say to me? And he does. And God speaks to him. And God says, look, Eli and Hophni, they're in trouble. Judgment's coming, you know. And you find yourself reading it, and all of a sudden, you're into the story. That's what God does. Now, I'll be honest with you. I get to such and such begat such and such, and such begat such and such, and I think, this is tough. But don't miss it. Don't skip it. Because every one of these lineages have something to do with the Lord Jesus and with God's people, and they're there, and they're important. We may not get the concept of all of it, but read the Word. We have to get back to reading the Word. Read it, recognizing that this is God speaking to us. Hey, this isn't some novel that you go down to a bookstore and you pick off a shelf and say, boy, I'm going to enjoy this. This isn't some just little love story that you're reading, you know, and it's good reading and it's clean reading and all. No, this is God's Word to mankind, and this is God speaking to us. And when we read it, we're reading what God has to say. And we need to read the Word. Number two, respect the Word. Respect the Word. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3, the end there. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And the Bible says in verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. There in verse number 3, I want you to notice what the Bible says. He says that when he was reading, to the ears of all the people were attentive to the book. We respect the Word in one way by being attentive to what it's saying. While little children may fall asleep during devotions, we need to be considerate of that and have a time set aside when we can be alert and be attentive. So many times a family altar is just an afterthought. Look, I battle with this all the time. It's just an afterthought. Well, we need to do this. We're busy. Life's busy. We have to set aside a time. We need to respect the Word. If we wait till we're so tired and so sleepy, that's not showing respect to the Word of God. You know, if we're doing it just because we know, that's not showing respect for the Word of God. Don't wait till we're so tired that we can't hear what God is saying to us. The Bible says in verse number 5 that he opened the book and the people stood up. It's almost like they're expecting God to speak to them. They're in awe of the fact that they have the book. By the way, in those times, these things, the books of the law of Moses, wasn't something that was so readily available, wasn't so easily copied. You know, now they print Bibles by the millions. But in those days, just to have some of the law would be an amazing thing. And they had one book of the law, apparently, and they said, Ezra, bring the book. And he stood up and he read. And when he opened up the book, the people stood, and they were ready to hear what God had to say. Can you imagine all those thousands of people before the Watergate? And they built a pulpit for the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God and for the purpose of the reading of the Word of God. And he stands up on the pulpit, and as he opens the book in unison, the people stand. And they're there ready to hear what God has to say. That's respect for the Word. I think tonight many times we read it and don't expect anything. But every time we read the book, God has something to say to us. And we need to respect the fact. We need to take our mind off things as much as possible and show respect for the Word of God. Turn off the TV and the radio or anything that might draw our attention away. We have to learn this. This is a time to not only teach children the importance of reading the Word of God, but of respecting the Word of God. And if they can read, teach them to follow along in their Bible. That's showing them respect. You know, we ought to have our Bibles open and looking and listening and seeing what God has to say. And hearing something from God. And we need to respect the Word. And then number 3, we need to respond to the Word. The Bible says in verse number 6, and Ezra blessed the people, the great God, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, I know we've already talked about that in the setting that it's in, but tonight this is what I'm saying. When we're reading the Word of God, look at me and listen, when we're reading the Word of God, we ought to learn to respond to the Word of God. When God speaks, we ought to respond. I'm not saying when we're having family devotions we're going to sit there and say, Amen, hallelujah. I'm talking about responding in a way that when God speaks to us, we're going to do something about it. When God says, this is what I want, then we're going to say yes to the Lord. You know, this word, Amen, means I agree. And these people were agreeing with the Word that was being read. And the way we can show that we agree with the Bible is to put into practice what it's teaching us. Why read it if we're not going to apply it? Why consume it if we're not going to let it work in our lives and help us to be more what God wants us to be. You know, when we're reading God's Word, we should respond to it by obeying it. The Bible should affect our lives in a greater way than anything else we can think of. Not only should we make decisions and respond to the Bible as we hear it preached and being taught, it's great that people come forward at invitation time, and I think that that's something that ought to be a part of our lives, but it's even greater that if day by day we read the Word, we respect the Word, and we respond to the Word as it speaks to us and shows us what we need and what direction that we need to be going in our lives. I wonder tonight, how we're doing in the thoughts of reading the Word and respecting the Word and responding to the Word. This is a call, if you will, from this pulpit for families to have times of Bible reading together, praying together, for individuals to have a devotional life. Our church will go no further than we're willing to go. And the only way we can go forward being right is when we're going forward following the Lord. And the way the Lord leads us is through the Scriptures and through His Spirit. We need strong individuals. We need strong families. May the Lord help us. I'm going to give you 7 things that might be a help in having a family altar. 7 things that I've written down for my family that I need to do. Number 1, set a goal of a certain time of day. If something keeps that from taking place, don't let that keep you from having it. Still have it. Set a goal. And that goal ought to be a time when you're going to be attentive. Number 2, have a prayer list for each day. You ought to learn to pray about certain things on Monday. There's certain things you're going to pray for each day. There might be some burden you have or something. But as a family, you're getting together and pray for certain things each day. Have a prayer list and pray. Pray together and pray for certain things. And this is my Monday prayer list. This is my Tuesday prayer list. This is my Wednesday prayer list. This is my Thursday prayer list. This is my Friday prayer list. You'll find your prayer list growing, but you'll find your prayer life growing when you begin to do things like that. Number 3, ask questions about what you've read. Ask, what's the Lord saying to me? What's He mean by this? What's going on here? Who did this? What was the result? It's just asking questions, simple questions. And I'm not talking about some deep theological things. You can do that in your personal devotions. But when you're having family all the time, ask questions that are simple. We have devotional guides back there that helps you with things like that. Number 4, know your limitations. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the younger the children, the more the limitations. And your family altar time might be a 10-minute time instead of a 30-minute time. I think you understand what I'm saying. Right? Maybe some of y'all have been so long since you had children, you have no clue what I'm saying. But you have to know the limitations. Don't make it such a burden that when your children are so young, don't just make it such a way that they're going to resent it. Know your limitations. Know how to deal with it. And then when you can't have longer devotions, you're teaching your kids all throughout the day. Maybe what you read in devotions the night before, ask them a question the next day. And if they don't know the answer, give them the answer. But ask them things like that and make it exciting for them. And then let them know tonight we're going to be learning more about that. But know your limitations. Number 5, write down if God speaks to you specifically. You know, sometimes God speaks to us while we're reading the Bible, and it's exciting for the moment, but then when we're done, we forget about it. And we go on, we get busy, we go on, and we forget what God spoke to us about. Maybe you ought to have your little thing, something, a little piece of paper, a little journal, something, and write down beside, God spoke to me right here, you know, and I may look at it and God spoke to you about this, and I'm thinking, what in the world does what you have written down have to do with what we read? But that doesn't matter. It's God speaking to you. And God works in mysterious ways. Some of the greatest times I've had in my Bible study and preparing a sermon, I would be listening to somebody preach a message, and they would be preaching, and God would give me a thought out of something they said, and it had absolutely nothing to do with some things that I jotted down, but God gave me a sermon out of something they said, and when you heard me preach, you would have never associated the two, but that's how God works. That's the way, that's what it is in our devotional life. Number six, do not rush through it. You know, well, it's time to have family altar, and our favorite TV show is in a commercial right now. So let's turn the TV off and see if we can't get through this before the show comes back on. No, you turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. If your pet's loud, get your pet out of there. Anything will take your attention away from God and His Word. Don't rush through it. And number five, work at remembering what you read and meditate upon it. It's one of my biggest problems. I read and I enjoy reading. But 3 hours later, I'm sitting there thinking, now what was it I read? Now, I have a terrible memory as it is. You can ask our deacon. It's awful. You remember, what was it last night? He said, are the ovens on? Or something like that. And I said, well, I'll go in here and check. I went in. I left the grill. Went in. I come back out and I said, was I coming in here for something? You know? I'm convinced this is what's happened. See, ever since I pastored the church previous to this, I started hanging out with the senior citizens a lot. And now I'm with one every day, just about. No, not yet. I started hanging out with them. We were driving through North Carolina one time, and they were saying, and North Carolina is like this, you know. Was driving through North Carolina. I was taking that group up there to a place in North Carolina. And they said, did you see that house in the curb? And I said, no. And they said, well, when we come back, you need to see it. I don't know why. I can't remember why. I can't remember what it was about. But we got in the middle of that curve. And they said, it's right over there. It's right over there. And I looked over there. And I was driving the van, you know. And a deacon's wife was sitting behind me. And she never just cut up or did a whole lot of things. She said, watch out! She's just kidding. But man, that's, you know, scared me to death. And I told him ever since that time I've had problems with my memory. And I said, it's your fault. But, work at remembering what you read. In other words, don't just read it as words. You know, it's not just a word put together with another word. No, God's saying something to us. Work at remembering it and then meditating upon it. Seven simple things, you know, and there's a whole lot more. There's lists. You could have a list of things like that. But I think that's just some basic things. And when I was going through this and I was, you know, I was preparing last week for the message, and we went down through and I had several different things we just talked about that we were seeing in that scripture that we could learn from it. And then God said there's more to it than this. And I took something that was a corporate gathering and I want to bring it down to families and to individuals and to challenge our church to having a church filled with families and individuals that have a time of daily devotions, a time where we're in the Bible every day, a time where we come together as a family. You know, you may be old, and you know, maybe an older couple or a couple with, you know, your children are getting up there. They may be teens or 20s, but still get together as a family. You'll really enjoy it if you'll do it the right way. The Word of God. We've got to have it back. Every great revival has been when people was in the book. Every great movement has been when people have made a concentrated effort to make this book a part of their lives. Every great thing that God's ever done has been because people have been obedient to the book. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for this time that we've had to be in this place. And Lord, our hearts have been stirred in so many ways tonight. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful in our response now. to these thoughts from thy word that you've given to us. And I pray that we'll go forward for thee. And Lord, I pray that we'll hear of great things happening in families as a result of taking time just to fellowship around you and your word. And we'll praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The invitation's not going to be a...